It's Thursday, March 19th, and welcome to Higher IQ. Over the past 2 weeks, we've been pulling apart the systems that shape your financial life. We talked about how tipping was built to avoid paying workers, how the 401k was invented by accident and became the retirement system nobody planned for, how the housing crisis is really a construction story. Today, we're going to talk about the number that connects all of it, your credit score. It determines whether you get a mortgage, what interest rate you pay on your car loan, how much your insurance costs, and in some states, whether you get hired. And most people have no idea how the system was built, what it actually measures, or what it leaves out. This is Higher IQ. Before credit scores existed, getting a loan was a conversation. A banker would sit across from you and decide, based on his judgment, whether you were trustworthy. The earliest credit reporting agencies, dating back to the 1840s, gathered information on borrowers that included not just their payment history, but their character, which in practice meant their race, gender, religion, marital status, and social standing. One of the first agencies, the Retail Credit Company in Atlanta, which later became Equifax, compiled files that included information on people's sexual lives, political ideologies, and disabilities. The system was fast, personal, and profoundly biased. If the banker liked you, or if you looked like someone he trusted, you got the loan. If you didn't, you didn't. In 1956, an engineer named Bill Fair and a mathematician named Earl Isaac met at the Stanford Research Institute in Menlo Park, California. They rented a small apartment in San Rafael and started working on something that seemed radical at the time, a mathematical formula that could predict whether a borrower would repay a loan using only data, no human judgment involved. They called their company Fair, Isaac and Company. They pitched their scoring system to 50 large lenders in 1958. One said yes. 5 years later, Montgomery Ward adopted it for their department store credit. Through the 60s and 70s, credit card issuers and auto lenders gradually came around. But the real turning point came in 1989, when Fair Isaac introduced the FICO score as we know it, a single number between 300 and 850 that summarized your creditworthiness. In 1995, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the government-backed mortgage giants, told lenders to start using FICO scores in their mortgage approval process. That single decision made the score the gatekeeper to homeownership in America. The range of 300 to 850 is, to be clear, arbitrary. There's no mathematical reason the scale couldn't run from 0 to 1,000 or 1 to 500. FICO chose the range, and it stuck. The score is calculated from 5 categories, weighted differently. Payment history is the biggest, at 35%. Do you pay your bills on time? Amounts owed is 30%. How much of your available credit are you using? Length of credit history is 15%. How long have your accounts been open? Credit mix is 10%. Do you have different types of credit like a mortgage, a car loan, and a credit card? New credit inquiries are the remaining 10%. Have you recently applied for a lot of new accounts? What's not in the formula is as important as what is. Your income is not a factor. A person earning $40,000 a year who pays every bill on time can have a higher credit score than someone earning $300,000 who misses payments. Your savings, your net worth, your employment status, your education, your age, your race, your gender, none of these are in the calculation. That was the whole point. Fair and Isaac built the system to remove the subjective human judgment that had made lending decisions discriminatory. And on that narrow goal, the system worked. Research has consistently shown that at a given FICO score, borrowers of different races are equally likely to repay their debts. But the system has a deeper problem. The data the score relies on, your credit history, reflects decades of who was and wasn't allowed to build credit in the first place. Through most of the 20th century, redlining, the practice of designating black neighborhoods as too risky for mortgage lending, was not just tolerated, but endorsed by the federal government. The Homeowners Loan Corporation created residential security maps that explicitly rated neighborhoods based on their racial composition. If you couldn't get a mortgage, you couldn't build the payment history that a credit score rewards. If you were pushed into predatory lending, your score reflected the higher default rates that those products caused. The algorithm doesn't include race, but the data it's trained on was shaped by a system that very much did. More than half of Black Americans report having a low or no credit score, compared to 37% of white Americans. Aaron Klein at the Brookings Institution put it simply, credit scores are based on past performance. The further we go back in history, the deeper the structural racism in the United States was. That said, we should be honest about the alternative. The system before FICO was worse. Subjective lending decisions meant a banker could deny your loan because of how you looked, where you lived, or what your last name was, with no recourse and no explanation. FICO replaced that with a formula that, whatever its limitations, at least gives you a number you can see, understand, and improve. The Fair Credit Reporting Act of 1970 gave consumers the right to access their credit reports and dispute errors. The Equal Credit Opportunity Act of 1974 made it illegal to deny credit based on race, sex, or religion. These laws exist because the pre-FICO system was so openly discriminatory that Congress had to intervene. The score isn't perfect, but it was a genuine improvement over what came before. What most people get wrong about their score is practical. Checking your own credit score is a soft inquiry and does not lower it. You should be checking it regularly. Carrying a balance on your credit card does not help your score. This is one of the most persistent myths in personal finance. It hurts your score by increasing your utilization ratio, which is the percentage of your available credit you're using. If you have a card with a $10,000 limit and you're carrying a $3,000 balance, your utilization is 30%. The scoring system wants that number below 30%, and ideally closer to 10. Closing an old credit card can lower your score in two ways. It shortens your average credit history and reduces your total available credit, which pushes your utilization ratio up. If you're shopping for a mortgage or auto loan, multiple hard inquiries within a 14-day window count as a single inquiry, so rate shopping doesn't hurt you as long as you do it quickly. And once you're above about 760, you qualify for the best rates on essentially everything. There's no practical difference between 760 and 850. The people chasing a perfect score are optimizing for bragging rights, not better terms. The score now reaches far beyond lending. Landlords use it to screen tenants. Employers in many states can pull a version of your credit report as part of the hiring process. Insurance companies in most states use credit-based scores to set premiums, meaning your history of paying bills can affect what you pay for car or home insurance. The system that Fair and Isaac built in a rented apartment in 1956 to help department stores decide who deserved a credit line now functions as a shadow passport that determines access to housing, employment, and financial products across the entire economy. 90% of top lenders use FICO scores. The company reported $1.29 billion in revenue in its most recent fiscal year. One private company's algorithm has become the default infrastructure of American financial life. So when someone tells you to check your credit score, here's what they're usually not explaining. The system was built in 1956 to replace subjective discriminatory lending with objective math. It succeeded at that, mostly. But the data it runs on still reflects who was and wasn't allowed to build credit over the past century. Your income isn't a factor. Checking your own score doesn't hurt it. Closing old cards can lower it. And the number now determines not just whether you get a loan, but what you pay for insurance, whether a landlord rents to you, and in some cases, whether you get hired. It's the most important number in your financial life, built by two guys in a rented apartment, and most people have never been told how it actually works. Stay informed, stay curious, and we'll see you tomorrow.